You did.
Mm.
Amen. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this morning. Thank you that we can come together and worship you. And Lord, we thank you all the people that are here, and thank you for the ones watching online, Lord. And God, we just ask that, we just say, come, Holy Spirit, come. Fill this place, Lord, and make yourself known. Speak to us, open our hearts, God. Thank you for the word. I pray you just anoint me that I'd be able to communicate clearly what you have. And Lord, I pray each heart is open to receive. And God, we look forward to what you're going to do. And God, we do really do say, how great is our God. So we thank you and ask your blessing on this service in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. As you know, we're in the book of Romans. In Romans. Going through it, we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 12, verse 3 this morning. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. We'll start off there. So, and it says this, For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself or herself more highly than he or she ought to think, but to think with sober judgment according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Now, what we're going to look at this morning, and we're going to look at the statement here, the measure of faith, And this is the measure of faith that God has assigned to us. Now, this is not talking about, salvation, and this is not talking about faith trusting God in our individual situations that come up, you know, as we pray through different things. This is not what it's talking about. But this is talking about specific faith given for specific assignments. All right? Specific faith given for specific assignments. Now, the word here, measure, is used to indicate a sense of degree. That's the reason the word's there, measure. It's a sense of degree. And it comes from the Greek word metron. You ought to jot that down inside, you know, we'll see here to get. But metron comes from the word metron. And it means an area of influence. So you can see the word metron. It's a measure. It's an area of influence. So it's got some parameters in it when the Lord uses this word. And so this is meaning, what it's talking about is our sphere of influence, our assignment. Now that's what that verse says, our sphere of influence and our assignment. Now, when we look at it, it's our sphere of influence and our assignment where we have been given designated faith with accompanying power and authority. Everybody with me? Again, we're not about salvation, all right? Go before the Lord. You receive the Lord Jesus Christ. We put our faith in him. Something happens. We pray for that. We pray for situations in our life. We walk in faith. Okay. It's not talking about that. That's not what this is talking about. It's talking about a measure that God has assigned. So it's like, okay, there's some parameters to this. There's a measure, and he's assigned it. So God, there's a measure and assignment. And so what we have is designated faith in this assignment, but with it, there's accompanying authority and power. Are y'all with me? Now, the reason I'm taking a pause here, because, you know, we talk about faith, and we have it drilled in our mind what that is, okay? But this is talking about something different, okay? It is faith, but he's making a point here that we need to pay attention about. So what we have here is an assignment, and an assignment to which we are called, and this assignment has divine boundaries. You with me? Has divine boundaries. Now, as Christians, we should discern, okay, and regulate our aspirations in regard to the God-given assignment. Okay? Again, I'm on break. we have faith in God, we walk in faith, nothing's impossible to us, okay? That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about an assignment that we have been given, and there have been some parameters about it, and within this assignment, we have authority and the power to complete the assignment. So you see the two different things I'm talking about. Don't get them crossways or it's not going to make sense here. And again, the key is this word metron that puts it in there, because it has this extended meaning, and that's what the measure of faith, the boundaries of faith. What do you mean boundaries of faith? Our faith has no boundaries. Well, it does in the specific assignment you're given. You see what I'm saying? Now, so here we are. We see this assignment. Now, let's put it in context, because all this flows together. As I mentioned before, these are chapter on, and I've said this before, chapter 12 on are terrible verses to preach without chapters 1 through 8. I mean, you're just committing everyone to misery, as far as I'm concerned. Based on chapters 1 through 8, we understand faith, we understand salvation, we understand the Holy Spirit, and so we're like equipped, you know, and so when he tells us this, okay, go ahead, tell me, I'm ready. We're ready because of chapters 1 through 8. Amen? That's right. So we want to keep this in our mind. So, since we have this capacity now, he says, here's an assignment. He's not going to give it to us before chapter 3. He don't give it to us before chapter 8. Not an assignment, because we don't have any capacity to carry it out. See, now that we understand that, we have a capacity. Now we have the capacity, and we come into chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and it says, okay, now present yourselves as a living sacrifice, because you have capacity. And now, therefore, I'm going to turn now and give you an assignment in which you have authority and power. Do you see the importance of chapters 1 through 8 to carry this out? Well, I don't understand 1 through 8. God ain't going to assign you nothing. Not. I hate football. Well, I ain't going to put you on the team. Excuse me for saying ain't, but I just make a point. You know, you have to be of some capacity before you can have an assignment. An assignment. And so this is the thought process that we see going through here. And how's the introduction to go? Don't think more of yourself than you ought to. What is he saying? Because I'm giving you an assignment. Think within your assignment. Wait a minute. He said faith, nothing's impossible. No, that's true. But within this faith, where nothing's impossible and we walk with God, God speaks, and there is an assignment to people. Y'all with me? I mean, this is important to understand this. Now we see this principle. I'm going to pull a verse out here. We see this principle later on when it talks about prophesy. It's to talk about prophesying. And it's a gift here, and it says you should prophesy in proportion to your faith. Now, what does that mean? Prophesy in proportion. He don't say nothing that I didn't tell you. Your faith is what I told you. Don't jump over here and here. No, this is where I'm talking to you. So don't prophesy except in proportion. See, there's that word again. They put parameters. Parameters. There's because God says, I'm going to tell you something. I mean, this just be, he's kind of going, I'm boss, you're not. I'm going to tell you what you need to do. There's a lot of things going on. I've got a lot of people, and I want to give specific assignments to different people. Pay attention. This is what this is talking about. Right here. The measure of faith that God has assigned. He assigned. All right? Now, so let's look at this. So let's look at this Romans 12, 6, and we'll just, this is an example of a metron, okay? Having gifts that differ according to the grace given us, or the power given. We have different gifts according to grace, power and favor. You have different gifts according to the grace given to us. Let us use them, okay? If prophecy, in proportion. So you just put some boundaries in. if prophecy, in proportion to our faith. Right? I'm going to show you some stuff and keep it in proportion to what I tell you. That's what he's saying there. So it gives the whole idea. Now, God gives every believer an assignment with the proportion of faith necessary to accomplish that assignment. See, that's what's being said here. Now, we see this. It's fascinating. The great Apostle Paul, you know, he come here like, oh my, he would do this, that, and the other, and you know, can you imagine the great Apostle Paul here? Okay, but the great Apostle Paul only acted within the area God assigned to him or in the measure of the faith given him. He only did what he was told. That's all Apostle Paul did. In fact, and this is just, you should drive me crazy, Jesus says, I only do what the Father tells me. Jesus, I just do what I'm told. Well, Jesus, why didn't you do this? I just do what the Father tells me. The Apostle Paul, I just do what the Father tells me. Look at Acts 16:6. We have an overhead. Acts 16:6. Great Apostle Paul. He went through the region of Phrygia, Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. That's not where I want you to go. See, I was just thinking God didn't like these people. No, that's not it. Galatia's a big church, you know, they had a great thing. He goes, No, Paul, don't do that. I don't want you to go there. The Holy Spirit was forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. There. He was working in his area of assignment. Now he expands on this, and Paul was very aware of his assignment, and he uses the same word metron to describe the assignment in 2 Corinthians 10:13. Same word now. The English is different, but the Greek's the same. 2 Corinthians 10:13. So Paul's describing how he's given assignments, and he stays within that assignment. But we will not boast beyond limits. We will boast only with regard to the area of influence God assigned to us. He specifically goes on and says, hey, there's other people working there. That's their area. And so we're not going to go there. We're going to go here. Because that was assigned to them, and this is assigned to us. So it's the same thing. Paul's saying the same thing. Jesus said the same thing. But it's that word, measure. Okay? Boundaries, area of influence, you know, that this is where I have assigned you, and then I'm going to give you gifts of faith for that assignment. See, there's two things going on here. This is assignment and faith to carry out this. And so this is what he's saying, this is what he's saying the Apostle Paul. Now, an area of influence with accompanying authority and power is given with boundaries. Now, that's what you see right here. That's what you see. Well, why? You know, somebody told me, hey, Jesus should come and, or this is a great healer. You should go to all the hospitals and just heal everybody. Jesus didn't do that. Paul didn't do that. None of them ever did that. Well, why? Because they did what they were told to do. See, that's the problem with most Christians. They're not doing what they were told to do. This is, well, wait a minute, you need to hear from the Lord. God will give you some direction. When he gives that, and he's going to give you power there. See, if we try to do somebody else's assignment, we don't have any power there. You know? And we'll just irritate everybody else that is there. You know what I'm saying? And no power there. Because he didn't assign us there. Assign us there. So, it has some boundaries with it, as we see right here. Now, I'm going to go on. Y'all with me? Now, this is important for us to understand what's going on, and you kind of understand the body of Christ and what Christ is doing, and the importance of hearing from the Lord and then doing what the Lord says. And I'll go back up to what Jesus said. You know, I mean, if Jesus said it and you think, well, maybe I should do what he did, he says, I only do what the Lord tells me. He's like, okay, that's a good starting place. Then the Paul says, I only do what the Lord tells me. My area of influence. That's not my area of influence. And by the way, man, I was going to Asia. It's like, man, I'm ready. I'm fired up. I got the evangelistic team. And God goes, no, don't go there. No, I don't want you to go there. Forbid him to speak the word in Asia. I had a pastor tell me, God will never prevent you from speaking the word. I thought, I don't know that's true. He did Paul. He did Paul. See, Paul spoke what he was told to. See, and that explains a lot of things in walking the Christian life. What is God showing us? What is God showing us? And what this thing is saying, you got all sorts of different gifts. Don't think of yourself too highly. Everybody's got something different going on here. Now, we're going with this same thing, with this metron. When identifying offices within the church, God uses the same word, metron. He describes these different offices, and you have metron. You have an area of influence. You have some boundaries around your ministry. You've been assigned. See? And the same word metron is used to establish these appointed, how these appointed church officers are to operate. Now, do you see what's coming here? Well, they're appointed. That means they have authority and power within their assignment. See? So you should kind of figure out who's doing what, you know, because you could work together. You get too much cross going here, and you got a lot of confusion, authority issues, and everything else. So, well, let's look at that. We're going to jump over to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, and we see metron. Again, I just love the consistency of the Bible, you know, consistency of the Bible. Ephesians 4, 7, grace, power, or favor was given to each one of us according to the metron, the measure of Christ's gift. So every one of us, which Christian did he leave out? Nobody. Every one of us has been given an assignment, and with that there's an area of influence and power there, okay? So grace is given to each one of us according to the metron. Now, God spells out the ministry of this assignment necessary to equip believers. Why do church leaders have this gifting, a metron, an assignment? They have it to equip believers to do ministry in the world. That's their job. That's their job. See, it's to equip believers. Church leaders equip others by enabling them to succeed in God's giving assignments. So, I just tickle pink if everybody else succeeds. See? Because if I halfway do my job, everybody will succeed. And that's the key, that you personally succeed. That's why you have church officers. So, believers succeed. That's the whole purpose. See? And so, as you go through the scripture, and my greatest joy, and I can only say this, my greatest joy, you could ask Linda, is when you succeed. That just tickled pink, you know? So, but that's what it's saying here. So here we have the list. He gives us a list. Now, I don't think this, none of these lists are exhaustive, but they're representative. But this one is on church leaders. Church leaders. Here we go. Ephesians 4:11 through 12. Now, it's in context with Metron, okay? Here's the assignments, the power and authority within each assignment. And so here he starts out and telling us, gives us some examples. A lot of churches will say these are the picture of fivefold ministries. You'll hear that comment, fivefold ministries, and they get it from this. Okay? So Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 12. So this is what God did. This is the metrons he gave them, people. God gave them apostles. Okay, now I'm going to read through this and I'll back up. God gave them apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds or pastors, most Bibles say pastors, and teachers. Why? Why? Verse 20, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. They have one purpose. These officers have one purpose, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. That's success. Success is the success of the body. That's what the verse says. Now, I want to go through these. And again, really don't think it's exhaustive, but there is a point to these five. And it says it gave the church apostles. Now, I think apostles in the general sense, the apostles, as you read about, they didn't stay in one spot. I mean, they're all over the place, okay? And basically what you have, I think, is an apostolic gift, is there's an oversight of other churches. It's a ministry to help, you know, other churches and go to other. You don't see apostles in the Bible like hanging out in one spot for very long. Okay, they'll come and stay and preach, and then they're off, you know. And but they are empowered in such a way and in such a gifting that they encourage the body at large and groups of churches together, and they visit. And I do believe that still happens today. Now you think, okay, well, golly, how do we get apostolic gifts in the church? This is how we do it. We partner with Dove International. See, Dove International would have guys, and they'll actually say something, they have apostolic authority. And what that means, they oversee all of churches, okay? And then the person assigned to us, or actually requested assigned, is Ron Meyer. Anything just kind of where I feel like getting out of hand, which has happened a couple of times, you know, I'll call Ron. And he'll come down. He'll visit us. And he'll come down other times and speak. In fact, I saw him the other day at the conference. He said, "You haven't asked me in a long time." I said, "Oh, well, okay, so I'm going to hurt Ron's feelings. I'm going to ask him." No, really, I like having Ron down. So Ron will come and share it with you. But that's his job, okay? He works with other people up there, and that they oversee large groups of churches, and they'll visit them, oversee them. If we have any questions for them, we can bring it to them. It's a great accountability, like when Wood said that EMT, you know, for the kid. Your kids should really go to that. You really should. Dove puts that on, okay? We're small, it's kind of hard for us to get something like that, but they put it on. They'll bring kids from all over different churches, and they'll put that on, and they'll evangelize, and they'll go and do all sorts of things, and pray for them, and, you know, minister to them in a powerful way. They have a winter retreat, several kids went. Well, that's how we participate in that, and they'll bring churches in that, and it really works well. You can talk to kids who've gone, it's really, really very, very positive. But I just bring that out, you go, well, wait a minute, maybe we're missing this one out. No, and one of the reasons made the decision to partner with them is because of this. It's because of this. It's like kind of just out here floundering. I do okay, you know. I'm happy, you're happy. Or I thought you were happy. But I thought, no, we need to be involved in something else. And so this was bigger than us, something that we're connected with. And then two, it's a resource, you know, and I mean literally a phone call away from several of the people up there. But I think it fits into this apostolic gift for the church as a whole. And therefore, we benefit from Dove International. Amen? Okay. Now, the next one, it's prophets. And I think in the New Testament prophet sense, it's where, you know, God will bring things. I don't believe it's inspiration of Scripture. You got Scripture, that's nothing like that. But you have prophets where God will speak to, and he'll bring things to mind, to to share with other people what God is showing them. They have a prophetic gift. And we have a couple of people in the church that have a real strong prophetic gift. We have people in Dove that have a strong prophetic gift too, which you can call and have them come down also and even teach here and stuff like that, which we have done also. But we have that gift within the body, and we make it available to anybody. It's people we know, people we trust, and people that have shown themselves. You know, there's a history, you know, that they are legitimate. And so it's people we know. And by the way, that's any of these people, their credibility is based on the evidence of their ministry. You know, I mean, somebody come in and say, I'm an apostle, I'm going to speak at your church. And no, I don't. No, I don't know you. I don't want you to speak. I'm a prophet. No, I don't want you to speak. I mean, you can go any of them. I'm a vast. I don't care. I'm not going to do it. I don't know you. We don't know you. There has to be evidence where we feel comfortable. But anyway, so, but see, I'll use Ron Meyer as a gifting example where he has a sphere of authority. Like when Ron, and he asks permission. It's not like Ron would come in here, okay, I'm going to pray. He asks permission. I say, yeah, come in. Well, then he has certain authority that we give him, and he shares, and we feel comfortable with that. So there's a certain authority. That's his assignment, and that's what he does. He does it to other churches around the area. He has authority, and when you speak, you get the sense he has authority, and there's power in things he says, okay? Apostolic authority. And I could tell you, honestly, knowing Ron, very good, and he pastored a church, you know, but you could give him a pastor church. Hey, I want you to pastor this church. You stay here, preach every Sunday for 5 years. I think he might just give up the ministry. It's like, you gotta be kidding me. You know, I mean, 2-3 times, I'm done. You know, that's your job. I don't want just every. I mean, he actually said this to me. Every Sunday, a different message. That's what you. I said, I love it. See, that tells you something about me. He would not love it, but he loves what he's doing. He loves what he's doing because that's his assignment. He understands his assignment, and that's what he does. Okay, prophetic people, you know, and, you know, that's assignment, and, you know, that's a gifting, and they can work in that assignment. It's also, and I've heard say this, it's also under the apostolic because, okay, I appreciate what you said, but I have the Holy Spirit too. We need to talk about this. You know, don't be thus saying the Lord to me. You see what I'm saying? But it is a legitimate gift. Prophetic ministry is a legitimate gift. Here, seeing it, be involved in it. And but that's a gifting, that's a powerful gifting within in the body of Christ. And we usually have people come down this crazy pandemic and all kind of through things and tailspin. We'd have everybody, people had a prophetic ministry go down to sweat. Anybody go up? They'd pray over them, you know, ask the Lord what he was showing them. And it's been real positive, you know, real, real, real positive. Okay, just show. And next, evangelist. Now, very interesting. Evangelist, I always thought evangelists would go into all churches and stuff, which they can. You can have evangelist's gift. But I was reading about Philip was an evangelist, all right? And Philip was one of the five they picked when Stephen and Philip, and they stoned Stephen, and they ran. And then it shows that Paul, he preaches all over the place. Several years, he comes back to Jerusalem, and he stays with Philip. Well, Philip, he didn't do much. He just hung around town, you know. But he said Philip the evangelist. But what he has, evangelism, and, you know, the thing, evangelist, by saying, God's given them unbelievable ability to share the faith, you know. Most of them really, really like people. I mean, I like people a lot, too. Sometimes I just don't want to talk to them. I had to say that. Linda's in nursery. She will not. I don't want to listen to this tape. Anyway, we get that. But evangelists are real people person usually. But what they do, they share the faith. You can talk to them like 5 minutes, and then you're talking about Jesus. And they do it, and nobody around them's offended. I mean, just, and we have some here. It just flows over, you know, it just flows over. But it's the focus and ability to constantly lead person to the Lord. Now, their strong point is usually not discipleship. You know? It's like, you love Jesus, hallelujah. Now go talk to Wallace. See? Because it's just like, I'm done. You're in the kingdom, all right? You know, and he'll talk to you for hours if you want to go talk to him about this. You see, now these are generalizations, but usually evangelists have a capacity to share Christ, a capacity to connect with people, a capacity to go to the point. I've had a guy one time, I was talking to him. I said, he's just going no place. You know, I can't get anywhere. And I had a friend of mine who had an evangelistic gift. And he said, well, let's go and talk to him here. I said, okay. We didn't talk to this guy like 5 minutes. And then he had him all focused on Christ. And like in 10 minutes, he wanted to pray to receive Christ. I go, how'd you do that? You know, I was like just into teaching this guy for eons. You know, like, no, we got... You see what I'm saying? But it truly is a gifting, okay? We have evangelists in this church. You know, there's evangelists in this church. And then the next ones you have, and I'm just, these are just in general, and others, it says shepherds in ESV, but most people say pastors, teachers. Pastoring, are you a pastor? Yeah, I mean, a pastor, this is who you want to go on a hospital visit. Pastor, you want to empathize, walk through their pain, stay with them, encourage them, you know. It's an evangelist to do, God, I would love you, cry with you. Let's just pray to say, Jesus, you know, I already did. Okay, he'll take care of you. And next, pastor sent it. But you see, I'm exaggerating, making a little humor here. But pastor is the one by name, shepherd, will be there and walk through the deepest things with you. It will be there no matter what, ministering to you. And that's what they want to do. That's what they want to do. See? And then the teacher. And to think what a teacher does, hey, here's how you can identify a teacher. A teacher likes to research. You know, you think, well, a teacher, that means someone who likes to speak. No, all these guys, gals, like to speak. They'll all talk. They like to speak, and they'll tell you about the apostolic things are going on. They'll tell you about the prophetic things. The evangelists tell you what's going on. The shepherds, all the people they're caring for, they're not teachers. They're just telling you about their gift. You know, that's all. And teachers are not necessarily ones that teach. They research. They research. They want to look. They want to find out what the words mean. They want to know what metron means. They want to know how it fits together and then how it flows through the scripture. And their thing is research. And like what they'll do, like sometimes they'll spend 4 and 5 hours in their office, you know. They'll have their wife, what are you doing? I says, I'm reading. He says, you could have read the encyclopedia by the time you've been in. He's like, Linda would never say that. She'd say something else, but she wouldn't say that. But you see what? There's research, and you're motivated by the research. Okay? You see what I'm saying? That's a teacher. So, I can teach. He just talks and talks. No. Can he or she lock themselves in their office for 5 hours and study and love it? See, a lot of people fell to the side right there, you know, until I came to the office. You know, it's like, kid, you got to be crazy like that. And so, those people are given to the church to equip believers. So it doesn't mean every believer has all those gifts, but you have an apostolic that communicates, it equips. You've got evangelist that equips. You know, and then releases. A prophet, they equips and releases. You know, pastors, they equip and releases. Teachers, they equip and releases. And so what are you teaching them? You're teaching them out of your gifts, but everybody's hearing the whole gift. And what God will use, he will use all those gifts within an individual because they have been taught how they work. You know, like an evangelist, I just want to reach to the Lord and bump, we're out. I said, no. This is what you have to pastor these people. You have to leave. You just leave them cold. Then they learn how to pastor. They learn how to evangelize, like going to common, people tell you how to have, just have a general conversation and share Christ. And then pastors say, this is how you follow up, but you got to minister and care and be there. And then you have the body of Christ doing it all. Doing it all. One person doing all fivefold because they learned it. Now they'll have a gifting, it'll start popping up, you know. But why it is, they do it all. The body does it all. And you see what I'm saying? That's what should be happening in the church, is equipping. Is equipping. You know, like you said, I go to church every Sunday. I've never shared my faith. It's like, that should be upset at you. That should be upset at me. See, guys, I didn't put any importance on that. And then that's my issue. You know, now I mean, you have certain responsibilities, but the reason you go, and that's how the body, and that's what it says here, you equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. Why? For building up the body of Christ. Everybody. Amen? So everybody gets the, and that's the reason it's good to have Ron to come down and talk. Every time Ron comes down and talk, it's everybody's like fired up. I mean, because he's fired up. You know, it's good to have him come and hear his perspective like that, because he preaches like an apostle. They always say he's a teacher, and I go, you're not. But anyway, that's upset. As you put him in the office for 5 hours and not be climbing the walls. You know, you see what I'm saying? But again, I'm exaggerating some of these things, but I'm exaggerating just to make the point. But the whole body is to pick up and it's grow. And it says you equip others, enabling them to succeed. That's what the first, you enable them to succeed in their life, whatever they are doing. And thus the body is built up. Amen? So this is really powerful. Now, so you understand the picture. Now, how we started off was that God has given each a metron. See, I just talked about these, you know, but he's given everybody. He's given you an assignment. If you're in the body of Christ, you're an assignment. And we know chapters 1 through 8, so we know who we are, so now we can receive the assignment. You see what I'm saying? And so that's the whole purpose. That's how this whole thing flows. So everyone needs to understand their assignment. This means we need to understand chapters 1 through 8, who we are, and then per Romans 12, 1 through 2, we present our bodies as a living sacrifice. You see how that flows? It's just fine. Here I am. You know, I present my body. Then, based on those verses, renew our minds, testing and discerning the will of God. Then we carry out our assignment with authority and power. You see how that flows together? It all is tied together. It's all tied together. All built on Romans chapter 1 through 8. Now, to start with, we can always a place to start with. Our assignment, each and every one of us, primarily includes, can you guess? I'm going to give three things. This is your assignment. Whether God has told you or not, this is your assignment, because he will tell you, all right? If you got chapters 1 through 8 and you present yourselves the living sacrifice, your assignment is, number one, your family. Number one. I don't care what you said God said to you. Your number one assignment is your family. That's it. I'm going to tell you something that you're finding is that it's not the school system. They're not on your side. The school system's not on your side. They're not. They're just not. They have an agenda, but it's not. They're not on your side. You are responsible for your kids. You are responsible to your. You confront the school system to take care of your kids the way you want them taken care of. They're your responsibility. Amen? That's it. Oh, here's something else, you know, about passes on. The church is not responsible. you're responsible for your kids. You come in and say, listen, I don't like what you're telling my kids. They're your kids. You see what I'm saying? They're your kids. All right? Because you have authority over your children, over your family. So if that's your assignment, you have authority and you have power. And what the school system tries to do is take away your authority and take away your power. Can you see that? It's demonic. It's flat demonic. I just excuse for you that. It is. You're responsible for your kids. And you stand up because you have the authority and you have the power. And that's enough to fight for. That's your assignment. God has given you authority. God has given you power. And you walk up and you stand with authority and power. Your family, you have authority and power. Amen? Assignment, number one. Assignment. And the another assignment is the church. Another assignment is the church. That you have, the church is the one where you have to carry out ministry, and the church is the place, lost my thing here, and where the Bible, where it talks about in Romans 12, 1, it talks, renew your mind, and it says, you step out, you discern, test and discern the will of God, and then it makes it sound, this is your spiritual worship. It calls it, what's that crazy? What's your, no, that's your worship ministering in the body of Christ. The body of Christ is the center that makes this world go round. You see? So your assignment is to minister in the body of Christ. Because this is what makes the world go round. Amen? All right. And so you understand, I mean, you're going to understand a lot of things. Okay? But that's how God looks at it. That's your second assignment, not your first. A lot of pastors make a mistake. The church is the first assignment. So now it's not a first assignment for the pastor. First assignment of the pastor is his family. Second assignment is the church. Same thing with you. Amen? You got that. That's just the way it works. That's where you get that out of balance. Within the church, you got a messed up church. Okay. First, family. Second, the church. And then you minister based on these gifts, and you minister one another, and it equips us to face the world. It equips us. Amen? That's actually that. All right. So we have this whole picture. Now, and the third place is your work. There's an assignment with your work. With your work, you're supposed to just live out your Christian life. I can honestly say this, and I'm just saying it as word of testimony. I hope it's encouraging. I worked for Central Intelligence Agency. I worked for the government and like that. And I don't know that I was the best witness in the world or anything like that. But I will tell you, every place I worked knew I was a Christian. They just knew it. And that's a ministry. Now, what they do with that's their business. And, you know, you're there for a reason, you know. But that's, if you're working in a situation and no one knows you're a Christian, they don't know you're a Christian, there's no ministry there. There's no power there. So in your work, you have a certain authority and power. We have, I remember I was working for this guy, and his, it was the deputy of the office at the agency. And so, and he found out I was a Christian, so he talked to me about it. And I just did my thing, and I'd witness, you know, like to him. I mean, this guy's several grades ahead of me. You know, I mean, I work for people who work for him. Yeah, I mean, it's like we weren't even on the same page. And so we went through, and he kept answering the questions, and I just kind of pulled it around, and I just laid the gospel out, and I kind of put a period on it, and said, it's heaven or hell, you know, kind of at the end. And so, I mean, like this guy's, he's several. He came down and he hit my desk so hard. I mean, the paper raised up like that. I thought, this is not going good. It's not going good at all. He stood up and he's mad. He said, you're just like my daughter. Isn't that fascinating? I never knew. I was like his test case.
She's going home. She's going home, spouting Jesus and driving him nuts. It's like, what happened to you? And I'm like the test case. See? And I had no idea until that moment. You know? Now, I don't know what happened. The girl's good. I don't know what happened to him. When I transferred from Office of Finance, I transferred to DDS&T. It's a technical thing. And so when you transfer, like, from those things, it's like going to a different company. I mean, it's a huge transfer. It's not like, oh, we'll go there. It's like these people don't even talk to each other. I mean, it's like it's a big deal. So I went and left the Office of Finance, and so you have like a departure thing, like I'm leaving the country or something. You have a departure. I sit up there, and the guy, and he's nice. He goes, what could we have done different? I says, nothing. You know, I mean, I really appreciate you guys. Thank you for that. And I just thought it would be a good change. And he goes, so they tell me you're a Christian. And I thought, whoa. Now, I mean, we just went up the echelon. You know, I thought. And I, yeah. You know, I am. I mean, I was really taken aback. And this is what he said to me. He goes, I don't necessarily agree with what, but he said, how can you reconcile your Christian faith with working for an organization like the CIA? Now, he meant it was undercover, you know, and not always known for telling the truth and all of your spies and all that. But that's what he said. You know, he said, how can you reconcile your Christian faith with working for the Central Intelligence? Now, this guy, I mean, he's an SIS. I'm sitting here like, good grief, you know. And what I said, Lord, I said, well, I just kind of look at it like, you know, Joshua, before he went into the land, you know, he sent 12 spies, and they looked at the land and came back and told him what was going on. He said, good answer. Now, I have no idea, but what I'm saying, I don't know what happened, but the point I do want to make, they knew I was a believer, because it permeated, it wasn't something I left at home, I had to walk it, because that's who I was. You see what I'm saying? You know, half your guy, you felt like your husband went to the CIA, and he worked for 20 years, and came back, and never knew he was married. You go, wait a minute, they ought to know you're married, see? See, you see what I'm saying? The point, they ought to know you're a Christian. You just by your demeanor. Now, so I'm saying all of this is your work is your assignment. Your work is your assignment because you're there. I mean, God doesn't have to tell you that's your assignment. He's already told you that's your assignment. But he will tell you things. Now, that is also, we need to know that he gives us a measure of faith necessary to carry out these assignments. Okay? How do you reconcile your faith? Like, Lord, he gave me a measure of faith. I hadn't thought about Joshua ever, especially talking to him about it, you know. But he gave me that measure of faith that I could speak that at that time. Because that's what I'm saying. That's what that was my assignment at that moment, okay. And so that's all I'm saying. And it's like who you are. And so also with this, we have confidence in every God-given assignment, and even surprise divine encounters like that. Amen? So that is a specific assignment. But for me, with that, that's a specific assignment with a measure of faith to handle it. You see what I'm saying? Well, that happens. That should give a great amount of confidence, a great amount of confidence. And so it goes the whole round. But again, what's the first assignment? What's the first assignment for a pastor? Family. If he gets that reversed, he's not a good pastor at all. Not a good apostle, not a good anything else. It's family. Has to be. It's the number one thing. Okay. Second thing, it's a church. It doesn't work unless it's yours unless it does that. Okay. And then your work. And then when you're home, all the people you interact at home, you know, it's the same thing. Okay. So we know that. We don't have to wait for a word like that. And by the way, you don't have to wait for a word. Like you're sitting for a guy and he goes, tell me this. You know, I mean, it's like, well, I don't know. God didn't give me this assignment. But no, I mean, he gives it to you. You know, okay, I'm here, so I just got it. All right. But it's broader than that. I'm going to share a couple of other things. Hope it's encouraging to you where God gives assignments. And we should be really happy with our assignment. I mean, if God gave you assignments, wow, Jesus, thanks. You know, I mean, that's kind of cool. You know, well, that's what he does to his people. And people hand all sorts of different things. There was, I'm going to give you two. I've shared this before, but it's such an unbelievable testimony. I want to share it again. But a guy had an assignment. And I ministered to this paraplegic and at the hospital at Reston is kind of a home. And I go in to talk to him. And this guy came in, and he... he's Spanish descent. Not that makes any difference, but he's Spanish descent, and he was a janitor. And I'd see him, you know, he'd come in and clean the rooms, and I'd speak and stuff. And so we're there, and I talked to this guy. One day, he came up to me, and I see you praying with this guy. You're a believer. I said, yeah, I'm a believer. Now, what I'm getting at is assignment. God speaks to his people. He gives them assignment, and he gives them measure of faith. He doesn't give the same assignment to everybody, you know. See like that. And he says, yeah, he said, I'm a Christian. I said, oh, really? Yeah. And so we started talking, and he gave me his testimony. And it was like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, it was one of the most, you know, it's kind of like this thing. He said, I opened the Bible, and I read it. This verse turned to fire, and I saw angels, and Jesus spoke to me. I said, I'm like, get out of here. Are you kidding me? I mean, it was... I'm kind of exaggerating, but it was that kind of testimony. I said, really? So I was listening to him. I said, that's how. And he said, I was going to this church, Spanish church like that. And he said, God told me to minister to the AIDS patients. Now, what I didn't know, in this hospital, and this is 30 years ago, and AIDS was just, everybody scared to death. They didn't know what it was, you know. And so these people were dying of AIDS. Well, they had this whole wing and had all the AIDS patients in there because they didn't know how to treat them. They separated them. And, of course, it was a death sentence immediately. There wasn't any treatment. They died. So I didn't even know it. You know, I mean, you're kidding me? In this, here? You know, he goes, yeah, this whole wing is AIDS. God told me to minister to the AIDS patients, and they wouldn't let me come in. They wouldn't let me do it. So they had an opening as a janitor. And so I hired on as the janitor, and I have to clean all the rooms. And while I clean their rooms, I witness to them. That's an assignment. And that's a measure of faith that he didn't give me. I'm like, really? He said, oh, yeah. No, that's why I work here. God told me. You know, I go, I'm the janitor. Now I can... Because they lay and clean the room. And he said, I witnessed all of them. That's an assignment. You see what I'm saying? But that's a measure of faith, a specific assignment, a specific measure of faith. We're not just a faith. You see what I'm saying? Well, God does that to us. He gives us specific assignment. With the specific assignment comes the faith, and with the faith comes power and authority. When that janitor went in and spoke to those AIDS patients, he had power and authority from God. You see? Amen? Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you one more. This is, because I think these are facts. Now, I know, I mean, that guy told me. I was a witness to him. I mean, that was amazing. There was another one, and this was another pastor's telling me, and said this lady he went to, and she was dying. She'd been in the church for a long time, so he went and sat by her bed, and she's on her deathbed, and so he's ministering to her, you know, telling how much he appreciated her, and said she just, in tears, and she says, I just don't feel like I'm ready to go be with the Lord now, because there's nobody to take my ministry. And he says, he's known this woman for 20 years. He said, he never noticed her doing anything, you know. And he said, well, she died. Well, okay, that's good. And he said, and I'm just concerned. And she's so upset. He said, well, can you tell me your ministry? And then maybe I can get someone to fill it in for you. She said, well, you wouldn't mind? He said, no, okay, tell me. She said, for 20 years, every morning for 2 hours, I pray for you. That's an assignment. That's an assignment with power and authority to carry it out with a measure of faith. And but that's what this is talking about. So it has a big perspective. But what it says here, how many people does he assign this to? How many? Everybody. All of you. All of you. All of you. And so that's how God's body works and how he ministers. Well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. Don't be too fast in the I am. Be kind of like, okay, God, I want to see what the God shows me. I want to see what God shows me. And then that's what I'm going to do, because what he shows me, there's power and authority. What he shows me. And if he doesn't show me, I'm just going to irritate a lot of people. You see what I'm saying? Like that. You may irritate them this way too, but you listen, that's what God showed you, and he'll take care of it. So hallelujah. So it's the quick. So we see this. And so here what I want to do is kind of back up. So there's a measure of faith. So I want to read through this whole section here, because the following, this whole section, is God's statements of specific empowerings. These are God's specific empowerings. And it's not an exhaustive list, but it shows you an idea how he works through people. All right? So we're going to read Romans 12. Verse 3 through 8. I'm going to read the whole thing, because the whole thing is talking about the metrons. That's what it's talking about, metrons. What he has assigned people. What he's assigned people. Romans 3. For by the grace, now that's important. What's grace? Power and favor. See? See what? For the power and favor given to me, I say to every one of you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. This means think within your gift and assignment. That's what it means. Think within your gift and assignment. But think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Metron, assignment, boundaries based on what God told us. I have a great ministry for you. Well, I'll pray about it, see what the Lord says. Just because you said it didn't make it a great ministry for me. You see what I'm saying? Okay, verse 4. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. You know, in 1 Corinthians it talks about, it says, we're members in one body. You know, it says, one's the arm, one's the legs, one's the feet, one's the fingers, like where the body works together. We're a body and we are one eyeball. You know what? One eye, I mean, no. We got hands, legs, fingers, everything. We're a body. Okay, we're a body. So, and we're individually members of one another. Verse 6, having gifts that differ according to grace, power, and favor, according to grace given to us. How do we have gifts? Grace, it was given. Did we go seek it, hunt it out, beat the bushes? No, it was given. It was given. And it is, I love this. It was given to us in this one clause. Says, let us use them. Whatever. Use it. You know, use it. Let us use them. Now, and he goes, if prophecy. Now, here's the, if prophecy. Stand at the corner and prophesy, everybody walks down, you know. Maybe. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. What did I tell you? Who did he bring across your path? Who did he tell you to speak to? What God say? See? If prophecy in proportion to our faith. If service in our serving. God's given me assignment for service. What are you doing? Serve. That's your gift. Serve. Now, also I have to add to this. Not being, having the gift of service. Okay? Not have, say we're going to move all the chairs. I'm not helping. I don't have that gift. You know, I've tried that at home. It never works. Okay, no, God calls us all servants. We're all servants. So move the chair. We all help move the chairs. But there are some people who are servants. Oh, my gosh.
I mean, that's amazing. The gift of servant. It's like before you think of doing something, they thought of it and have done it. I mean, it's amazing. It's an incredible gift. If service and our serving. The one who teaches in his teaching. The one who exhorts in his exhortation. I gotta tell you this about my son. I told our son that if somebody was encouraging, I said, "Well, I encourage people." He's like went crazy. He said, "You don't encourage anybody." I said, "Well, I think I have like the gift of." He said, "You don't have the gift of encouragement. You do not. Don't ever say that. You do not." This is my son. Okay. I said, "Well, people say they're encouraged." He says, "Listen, what you do is you teach them, and they think they're encouraged." I accept that one. He said, "You're not encouraged. Just let me tell you." So anyway, it's good to know your gifts. Okay, and to the one who contributes in generosity. You know, now we're all called to give. We're all called to tithe. There's no, I'm not called to give. He's like, "No, that's not what this is talking about. People have specific assignment." We have received checks. You know, give, and you're looking like, how can this happen? I mean, one time I got a check is $260,000 in church. You know, and I thought, is this real? I mean, it's just a little old check. It wasn't like Commerce Clearinghouse. $260,000. I mean, just a little check. I don't know how they got all the zeros on that. It's like, oh my. I mean, it was in the evening. Man, first morning, I'm at the bank that morning waiting for them to open up. I said, this thing's going to bounce like a rubber ball. What is it? And went through. See, you give generously. See, some people, I mean, it's like, that's what this is talking about. And the person who talked to him, "No, the Lord told me to give that to you." Really? I mean, to the church. You see what I'm saying? It's an assignment. That's an absolute assignment. So we understand. And again, this is metron. You see how that word is used in the things that fall out here. So that's metron. One who leads with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. You know. Now, and I'm going to do. What you have is that knowing our assignment is important because within our assignment is authority and power. See what I'm saying? I want authority. Well, get in your assignment. You'll see power and authority. And I want to brag on Jenna. I want to brag on Jenna. Jenna cleans the church. You know that? Many people don't know. It's kind of like this lady is praying for the pastor. You know, he just walks in clean and you're happy. You know, you think I did it. So it's like, no, none of you think I did it. I know. It's like, you know that. You know, but Jenna, and so she cleans it. She cleans the church, you know. Well, that's been before the Lord, you know, that's her spiritual act of worship, you know. She does that, all right? But, you know, and Jenna's the sweetest person in the world. I hate to, you know, downgrade the rest of it, but really is. Jenna's the sweetest person in the world. She just, but it's like, but so we clean the church, so Jenna has authority and power. You don't think so? She calls me up, so what was we don't have any paper towels. Man, I get them. I bust it. I get why? Because Jenna just asked me paper towel. I mean, when she said, I do it. See, she has authority. You know, somebody else called me and said, have paper towels. You know, I said, well, why don't you give them yourself? You know, you go back there as much as I do. You know, like that. But no, Jenna called me. She has power and authority over this. Hey, I saw this in the church. The faucet's leaking. Really? I know immediately. Like that. You see what I'm saying? There's power and authority. But those are assignments. And so, but the point of it is, or the whole point of this whole section is, God will specifically speak to us and bring us into situations that are our assignment. And with that assignment, there's power and authority. God moves. Amen? See, so I want power. Now you say, I want an assignment. Because power comes with the assignment. Amen?
Hallelujah. So we'll close with that. So we have these assignments, authority, and power because of Romans 4:25. We believe in Jesus, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. It's all wrapped around Jesus. We're serving Jesus. Serving Him, hear Him, and carry out His love to the world. Greater things you will do because I go be with the Father. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You. Thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for Your love. And Lord, it's like, I mean, we thank You for this word. We thank You for the word. I mean, this is amazing that You're telling us exactly what You do and exactly how You do it with Your people. And so, Lord, we just thank You. And so, Lord, we know how to pray. We know how to. We don't have to pray for power. We need to pray for our assignment because we already have the power. You will release Your power when we pray for the assignment. You'll give us authority when we pray for the assignment. God, I thank You. I thank You that You died in our place. I thank You that we are forgiven, and praise Your holy name, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.